Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Thanks for joining us tonight. We have got a fantastic show. We're going to be talking to the long-awaited conversation with Greg Charlo from the revolutionary prop company. This thing is crazy, and what it is doing to boats and motors across the globe is nothing less than impressive and amazing. So that's going to be it. We're also going to talk a little bit about the best categories from iCast. I've highlighted a couple for you, Don, that yes. You might be interested in. So we'll be talking about that. That and a ton more when we come back with more Valley Outdoors. Stay tuned, everybody.
Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies?
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Today, Don, I'm pretty excited. It's going to be good. Lots of stuff.
Yep.
So we've also... talking about fishing, we're talking, you know, always tip of the week is right now. And it's always funny when during the week, you know, you've got hot weather, regardless of where you are, doesn't matter where you're fishing, doesn't matter. If you have a current flow or whatever, usually you'll find some fish that are in a general area that the water's oxygenated, you have bait that hangs by, right? The funny part about it is that most times when you see that 85 degree temperature, 90 degree temperatures, the first thing everybody thinks of is we got to go deeper. I'm not saying that that's not the case many times, but what I will tell you is more often than not, an overlooked place is going to be in that 4 to 5 feet of water in those shallow flats in a dirty water scenario. You run planer boards, you run some shallow baits, maybe some floating Rapalas, some jointed Rapalas. Put them 30 feet out behind the board, and you'll be amazed at what happens. Prime example, this time of year, out, nothing going on and on certain parts of the river, just absolutely nothing. Then all of a sudden, you're, okay, well, tell you what, let's pull up. We're going to go to a different part of the river, and let's try trolling some shallow flats. You end up getting 24s, 25s, and 26-inch walleyes. And pike mixed in, everything is in there feeding because... there's bait. There happens to be, in this particular case, if it's nearby deeper water, you're going to capitalize on that as well. So always seems to work. Don't be afraid to run shallow, even if it's hot, if you're in the right position in the right spot.
Does it matter what time of day you do this or any time of the day?
Any time of the day. Could be early in the morning. It could be a feeding, you know, scenario. So you look at various parts, or it could be an evening, but... what happens in those situations for when I've experienced it was in the middle of the day.
Well, I guess my question is typically fish, you know, for everything I've ever read is tend to stay in cooler water for their own body temperature. So my question is do you think they're coming up into that flat out of the deeper water? Is it important to have a flat near a deeper water?
In one case, it was. In the other case, there was no deep water
around
anywhere nearby. Okay. Deeper was relative. There's maybe 8 to 10 feet of water not far away, but that 5 feet of water was a massive, mud slash sand flat.
Sure.
And just undulations within it. It had current flowing on it, but it was unbelievable.
I mean, the only reason I can think they'd be there is because there's a lot of bait fish in there.
Bait fish and the current, you're able to see influx and movement of that type of scenario. So, yeah, it was...
I'll have to give that a try next time.
Well, I'll give you a prime example. I'm up at Mille Lacs, up at the north end of Mille Lacs one day.
Yeah.
And there's a river that flows up in the north end. It's very stained, tannin, right. The tannin stain, that bronzish color.
Right, right.
High sun, clear water. And what I'm looking at, I'm like, what in the world is that? On a sand flat of no more than 3.5 feet of water. What's there? 25, 26, 27-inch walleyes.
Wow.
Sitting there. Caught two of them. They weren't the over we needed to get for the tournament.
Right.
They ate it. And they were there, just hanging out. Okay. Explain that to me with those eyes that they've got on the top of their head. It's crazy.
It's not what you'd typically think of for a walleye. So.
No. Absolutely.
Give it a try.
No, so don't give up on the shallow stuff. Let's jump into the ICAST Best of Show. A couple categories you want to hit on for sure. Best of category for boating accessories, the Frabel Recharge Deluxe Aerator. In the past, it's always a battery that you had two D cells in. You had to replace it.
Right.
Now they got one that recharges. Kind of a cool thought process. Always, it's a good thing to have that.
Is it lithium or?
I suspect it is. I don't have the exact detail on it.
Okay.
We're just going to go high level with these. All right. Ice fishing, the Garmin LiveScope Plus ice fishing bundle. Pretty cool. Some eyewear. I'm always intrigued by eyewear. There's some new companies. Roka, the bio sunglasses. So pretty cool. Lifestyle apparel. AFTCO. If you haven't looked at AFTCO apparel for outdoors and fishing, you need to. These guys are absolutely rocking it. Lifestyle apparel for women, lifestyle apparel for men. Both of them top in the category for AFTCO. Cold weather technical, AFTCO again, barricade rain suit with acid camo colorway. Again, AFTCO taking top on the clothing side. I mean, they're just rocking it. Amazing. Best of category, Mega Live Imaging.
Spell AFTCO.
AFTCO. AFTCO.
AFTCO.
Yep. The Mega Live Imaging and Target Lock. Now you have the Mega Live Imaging. You can set where that target's going to sit. That transducer will stay on that spot based on the heading that you have. Okay. So you got that detail of the live imaging heading and staying on that spot instead of having to worry about keeping to figure out where the fish are at. Hand pliers, tools, etc. Bubba has always come out with the best stuff. And the fishing accessories from Frabel again. A great netting that they have. Frabel's got some great nets. Berkeley again, the power stinger as far as the power bait. Reels, Shimano Spheros SW combo, and the freshwater reel itself, the Stella FK is the top. So there's your top listings and categories at the, or that was at the ICAST show for 2022. Pretty cool stuff.
It's always fun to looking at that new stuff. You know, I love going to that show because you see all this eye candy. It's fun.
Oh, it's amazing.
Check it out.
You get to see what's coming up, and there's a lot of stuff coming up. Speaking of coming up, we've got Greg Sharrell that's going to be joining us, and this is fun information. You are not going to believe how this prop started and what it's doing for boats these days. Hang tight. Greg Sharrell coming right up. Welcome back, everybody. And of course, we always like to have you guys check us out on Facebook. And where else, Donald?
On TheValleyOutdoors.com.
TheValleyOutdoors.com. We've got the interactive map. Anywhere in the United States, you want to plug something in, find out what's going on, fishing, hunting, regulations, whatever that might be, what season you want to find. It doesn't matter where you are in the country, you're going to be able to find out what season is going on. In fact, our next guest was not anywhere near where we're at. He was actually out on the West Coast last week and creating a lot of envy from my side of it. He was out fishing with a buddy of mine. And Greg, from listening to the friend, he've had Tom Nelson on our show before, and he was doing his radio show, and I heard all the fun and games you guys had out there doing little fishing. You call that product testing, right? That's quote-unquote product testing.
Product testing.
Exactly. We're sticking with that. That's absolutely
fish, yeah.
It's awesome.
The product.
Well, again, understanding the use is so important because so many times in manufacturing side of it, we lose sight of the actual user. The end user is the most important part. And what are the real benefits? Are they getting a benefit for it? And that is what you guys were actually able to be out there and conducting and doing and participating. So have you had any dinner fare from the results of that product testing?
I served my family salmon. As soon as I got back to Detroit, the very first meal I cooked was the salmon.
Nice.
What we caught out in Seattle. And my, you know, none of us could have enough, including my 16-month-old daughter. She's just eating it.
Starting them off early. Nice. That's fantastic. Well, Greg, you are the president of Charo Marine, an absolutely amazing story from beginning to end. But so we've got the props. And basically, for those of you guys who don't understand the concept, what this is, a propeller is what goes on the drive shaft of a boat and provides thrust forward and pushes the boat. People a lot of times don't understand, Don, you and I have talked about it at length, how much a prop, an existing prop, can make a difference in the performance of a boat. People don't quite understand efficiency, advance rate, all those different things that come up in technical conversation, but people don't get it. They just know I push the throttle forward, my boat goes forward, and I go reverse, it goes reverse. But one of the things that you did, Greg, you took something that really wasn't in its development intended for marine use, and
that's right.
Lo and behold, some stuff happened. Tell everybody about what really went on.
So I was working in Philadelphia when I came up with this idea, as a video producer of all things, and trying to solve the issue of noise that drones generate when recording video productions. I was working specifically in the classical music genre, where it's very important to have for your cameras to be very quiet. I wanted to use some drones for some shoots, and wasn't able to do so because of the noisy drone blades. So it got me thinking about how I could make a quiet drone blade. With classical music in particular, because it gets so quiet, you can't just have a quiet drone blade. It has to be noiseless. And because the tip of the blade is the culprit, really, the tip vortices, the culprit of all the noise or most of the noise that comes from blades, I thought, well, I'll just invent a tipless propeller. And right after I had that thought, I challenged myself to ask the question, well, what would a tipless propeller look like and how would it function? And I just asked myself that question over and over again, going to bed, waking up, and when I was walking the dog the next day, this idea for the Charo propeller just kind of popped in my head. And now it's been 10 years of R&D and development, started selling it 2 years ago to the recreational market. We have over 78 patents worldwide. And although I created it or invented it initially because of the desire to make something quiet, it also has some incredible performance benefits in terms of efficiency. We've seen numbers. Just last week on Tom's boat, we saw peak efficiency compared to his standard propellers of 43% at a nice cruising speed of 26 miles an hour. And anybody who does a lot of fishing knows how big of a number that truly is. In addition to the efficiency, there's also dramatic noise production, cut as much as 50 to 80% of the noise that is coming from the back of the boat. People think that the noise that's coming from the back of the boat is coming from the motors, but we've had a long time. Engineers have had a long time to make motors quiet. They're actually very, very quiet. It's the tip vortices and the cavitation itself that's making that really loud roaring sound that you hear from motors. It's not the motors themselves.
Yeah.
And people are always very surprised to find that. It's the first thing people realize when they were kind of notice when they put our props on the boat is just how quiet they are. And everybody kind of looks at each other like, wow, that's really intense.
Well, and Greg, the thing that comes out of this is people don't quite understand how significant fuel economy improvements are with this particular propeller. I mean, I was looking at numbers that were ginormous. So the fuel savings is big, obviously, with fuel prices these days.
Right.
You know, with the guys that are running two and three engines, it's one thing. But even if you're running, let's say, in a pontoon, I've seen some of the numbers on the pontoon side. And one of the biggest benefits you have there is you've got efficiency, you've got quiet, because that particular customer wants a quiet application. They also want good reverse thrust and good handling. So when they're coming into the dock, you can be comfortable in having that thrust in reverse, which you don't have now. So really what it's done in my mind is it's provided incredible applications for a pontoon, a fishing, a bigger boat, a cruiser.
Absolutely.
Everything has its own niche, but everybody loves a quieter engine. Game on, right? So that's an important thing. And the other thing I think that really people need to understand is oftentimes my boat doesn't get on plane very quickly. It takes a long time to plane my boat out. Speak to that a little bit, because that's an amazing change in what that prop does.
Yeah, we're very, very quick out of the hole. And one of the reasons we are is because we grip the water so well. We just don't slip like the way a standard propeller does. We're very efficient at funneling that water into and turning it into thrust. And we also have more than double the amount of stern lift of a prop that has a lot of stern lift to begin with. And what that really means is more vertical force. So, you know, if you take a traditional, you know, high-end four blade that has, you know, which are purchased for stern lift and a lot of applications at high-end speed, we have more than double the amount of stern lift per propeller that that those blades will create. So you can create a lot of stern lift, and that pushes the boat stern out of the water, and then that coupled with our propeller's ability to bite and turn that bite into thrust really gives you a jolt, a seat of the pants jolt when you're getting out of the hole. And this is really important. I found last week with Tom Nelson that it, when you're at the end of the drift and you want to get all your gear up and start back at the beginning of the drift, it's really important to get there quickly. And so I saw that benefit really, really helping you know, us out when we were fishing last week and being able to, you know, catch more fish as a result.
Well, Tom's running a 30-foot weld craft with a big, imagine a cabin put on the front, a big aluminum boat. So there's a mass of hull. I mean, it's a big boat. And the numbers and fuel efficiency numbers from a standard propeller to the change was a ginormous thing. I also see in a single engine application in running rough water, it's one of the biggest issues. You have to try to keep the nose up because it's at that speed where you're 13 to 15 miles an hour. Now, with this prop, I suspect I'm going to be able to run a lower speed to keep the nose down and use the nose to break the wave, as opposed to having the nose up and I can't see over the nose. And that, from my aspect, and get to a fishing spot a long ways away and then I have rough water come up, my efficiency goes right down the tubes when that wind picks up. I've told you, Don, about some of the tournaments we had on Erie, and it took me almost 2.5-3 hours to get back. And now I can start leveling that nose out. I don't have that jar that will knock my fillings out when that boat wake, or the wake that you're going over, hits underneath the hull, right underneath your seat. You know, besides, it makes me a lot shorter. I don't know if you know this, Greg. I started out fishing, tournament fishing, I was 6'6". Now I'm only about 5'9.5". That compression is just crazy. It's just crazy. So, yeah, I mean, you guys have done it.
Yeah.
And it really expanded the usable range of the RPM on that boat. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, we call it second gear. And you picked up on it really well, that it's that RPM range where nobody runs during rough waters because the boat falls right back into the hole. The nose is too high and the stern starts sinking, and it's just hard to keep the boat out of the hole at 23 miles an hour. And with our props and the amount of stern lift that it generates and the way that it just grabs the water and just doesn't let the boat, the stern sink into the hole, you're able to keep the boat flatter. You're able to operate the boat at much lower RPMs and lower speeds. And it comes in really handy in rough waters. And I've been on, you know, in a lot of situations here in Lake St. Clair, in particular, where I've, you know, bad storms come out of nowhere in the Great Lakes. And you can be in a bad situation where you find yourself in, you know, in 3 foot, you know, very, very choppy conditions and high winds. And, you know, you want to be able to go at a nice speed to get back to the marina faster and get out of the bad weather. And this is one of the attributes that our prop has that I think is, you know, really, really, really shines for people who want to have that safety feature when they're on the water and that backup plan to be able to get back safely and not have to go back at 8 or 9 miles an hour because they just can't stay up on the plane.
Well, one of the other things that comes into play, not so much on Tom's scenario, but a lot of cases on the walleye side and in the bass side, there's guys that are running slower speeds who were looking for fish on the graph. And, you know, every year we go up and do a trip with the fish with us trip.
Well, fish me out of this.
Well, yeah, okay, Don. I'll include you this time. Okay, fine. They're fishing with you too. But what we're doing is we're going to scan a spot. And when you have that boat tipped up, it's not giving you an accurate look at what the fish are doing. And if you can be on plane at that lower speed, that gives me the advantage to be able to scope for fish, using time efficiently and really covering spots. So looking for fish in a scenario where I've got a finite period of time, that's going to be the big thing. So that's kind of the bonus that we end up having with that type of prop. So really it covers the gamut of regardless of what kind of boat you have. And what's the next step for Charles? We got some pretty cool stuff that's happened recently. Fill us in on that too.
You know, we just signed a manufacturing supply agreement with Yamaha. And so now we not only are they one of our suppliers, but they're also going to be selling our propellers through their distribution channel around the world with a Yamaha SKU number. Our parts have Yamaha SKU numbers. So we're starting off with one series we call the MX3. It's 22 different pitches and diameters, left and right hand. So 44 models all together. And you're going to be able to purchase them through one of the dealers and be able to get it worldwide. One of the neatest things there is you're going to be able to finance the propeller with new boat purchases. And if you calculate what your propeller is costing you, share a propeller on a monthly basis for a typical 10, 20-year financing, you find that it's actually giving you cash back on the money you're saving and the fuel. So that's a really exciting thing. We haven't been able to offer financing directly from the company. So being able to go through Yamaha's distribution channel and an option on their 100-plus boat builders they work with is a really cool thing that's going to help us get growth and traction in the market worldwide a lot faster than otherwise.
Growth faster?
We're also going to be able to make more of them. What?
Growth faster than you're at right now seems a little bit incredible.
We still can't keep up though, with Yamaha on our side and it just has increased interest. And now everybody wanted it before, now even more people do. And so we're back ordered and we're fortunate we have very patient customers and we're getting them out the door as fast as we possibly can. And we are expanding here in Detroit. We're into a new facility. And we're putting in a whole bunch of new equipment that's going to give us the ability to dramatically increase the amount that we can make per month. We're quadrupling our manufacturing capacity just in the next 6 months. And that's just a step one in an even larger manufacturing, expansion that's planned here in the Detroit area. Yep. So we're really excited about it. Stay tuned.
It's going to be awesome. Greg, I can't thank you enough for taking the time with us. And we are going to have your link on the website on The Valley Outdoors. If you want to check out Charo Props, simply log on to The Valley Outdoors, click on the Charo link, and you're going to learn more than you ever possibly could know about props and Charo in specific. So, Greg, thanks. This has been an educational experience. I hope everybody else enjoyed it too. And we will talk to you guys soon. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your chance to fish with us, The Valley Outdoors. It's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away a trip to four individuals that includes lodging at Ashkenam Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join Don and I on this fabulous fishing trip September 17th through the 22nd. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us, plus a walleye seminar and contests for prizes throughout the trip. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Crimp sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio and Ashkenam Resort. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on August 20th on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Complete promotional rules available at thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Talk about information, Don. Is that not crazy?
Well, it's really interesting when you hear the beginning of a company from concept to market. It's impressive.
And to get it to that point with all the testing, you really got to have a push to make that happen. I've seen the numbers. Seriously, it's double on that boat they had out in Seattle. Yeah. The boat is going double the speed at the same RPM and double the fuel economy. No joke, double the speed. So at 3,500 RPM, it's going 15 miles an hour with the regular propeller. It's going 30 miles an hour with the Charo.
I understand this is so critically important for the big boats, but I hope that at some point they can design it for the smaller ones too.
They're doing it for pontoons right now. They're doing testing for that. So,
because you know, when you were talking about putting a boat on levels for a guy in a tiller like I am,
yeah,
that is so important.
Oh,
to get the back end up.
Well, and they've got to make out of aluminum as well. They get brass, they get stainless, and they get aluminum, and that cuts the cost. And as obviously the numbers go up, so does the cost will come down. So kind of cool.
Yep.
Speaking of cool, Don, I saw this and I about fell over. I saw the size of this. You know what a brook trout looks like, right?
Yes.
Generally, they're going to be, you know, up in the Kinney or in that area or in some whatever trout streams are, you know, 8, 10
they're pretty
inches.
Fish.
Just gorgeous
little,
fish, right?
Little orange dots with the glow around them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Beautiful fish, smaller fish. They fight and they're just beautiful, right?
Most
guess
time
what?
8, 10 inches
75-year-old Colorado state record broken. 7.84 pounds. It's the longest standing fish record in Colorado. Are you crazy?
That's a big fish. I wonder if it even looks like one.
It's unbelievable. 23 and a quarter inches long at 7.84 pounds. Crazy. It looks amazing too. Check it out. And check us out next week. Thanks so much for joining us. For Don, myself, and we got our stand-in. Who's our stand-in?
Mr. Jack.
We'll be back soon. And Ava, hope you're feeling better. Good to hear the twins are doing well. We'll be back next week.